we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the North Devon Journal, read by Peter Donaldson. Police pledge to expose flashers. Thanks to Harry and Jones Barks of North Devon for that winner. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Andy Hamilton and Michael White. And facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Roy Hattersley. And before we start round one, here's a church notice from the East Grinstead Courier.
On Sunday, Bishop Murphy O'Connor will be tinkling on the ivories.
Andy, who took a cruise or two up the Gulf?
Well, this is the big story of the week, obviously, which is Saddam Hussein once again ringing the West's doorbell and running away. And I suppose, you know, a lot of people have been questioning whether these punitive raids achieve anything, and they seem to be bolstering him. I know the objective is to humiliate and destabilize him internally in Iraq. I don't think they're being quite imaginative enough. I think what they should do is send in a crack SAS unit in disguise deep into Baghdad, and they should find those huge posters of Saddam and paint his moustache ginger. I think that would be a lot more destabilising, and maybe like cross the damn bit out of his name so it just says sad. Although I think, actually, knowing Iraq, it probably wouldn't work. All the men folk in the country would then paint their moustaches ginger, so.
And their wives.
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Saddam Hussein's forces began ignoring the no-fly zones. President Clinton ordered the attacks immediately. He received intelligence reports showing election ratings slipping. Missiles rained on Baghdad. The United Nations called an emergency meeting to review the legality of the action. NATO put their members onto red alert, and John Major visited a bottling plant in Buxton. Michael, welcome back to the News Quiz. Whose animal instinct was to accept a million?
Animal instinct, extraordinary story. It's been an odd week for the Labour Party, really. Tony Blair started the week declaring that he was a social democrat. Fellow panellist Roy Hattersley immediately declared that he was a communist, and we ended the week with Labour's tax plans laid out, with extraordinary headline in the Daily Mail, Blair's 10p carrot. Well, I blame the common market, you know. There was a time when carrots were cheaper than that, but... The event to which you allude was perhaps the most extraordinary of all, in which a Welsh-born American entrepreneur, which is what Alan Corran would call an oxymoron, who runs an animal liberation operation, for reasons which still escape me, decided to donate £1 million of animal liberationist money to the Labour Party. Anyway, that's what he did, and that's what the £1 million is about, and Tony's spending it on... what's he spending it on, Andy?
I don't know.
Okay, we don't know what he's spending it on, but it's a good cause. It's a great deal of money, almost as much as John Major gets in used fivers from unspecified businessmen of unknown nationality and motive. In the average afternoon.
We're just going to have one question tonight, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's it.
Go on. A member of the audience said that £1 million, which the Labour Party has accepted, will be used to buy new red contact lenses for Tony Blair. Traditionalists were dismayed by the suggestion that £1 million could buy influence with New Labour, but that's inflation for you. So we move on now. 2 points to Michael. Roy Hattersley, welcome back again to the News Quiz. Who sang like a bird to get out of a cage?
Sang like a bird. It's not those drug dealers that Michael Howard let out.
It is.
It is that. Well, it's a great achievement, isn't it? I mean, somebody's got out with Michael Howard's approval. Normally they get out and he doesn't know about it. And they said that they could tell him other drug dealers, who he no doubt let out as well. And therefore, Michael Howard's had a pretty good week, which is a rotten week for the rest of us and for civilization.
Precisely, yes. Refers to the senior judge who struck a deal with two convicted drug smugglers, and now he gets a discount for bulk orders. Michael Howard insisted that letting prisoners out like this was highly unusual. Normally, they just forget to lock the doors. After giving 2 points to Roy Hattersley, we go into Alan Corran's piece of music. Thinking about Tammy Wynette married to John Major. John Major with 3 days of stubble and a gun belt, scratching the hair on his chest in Memphis. This is about that, isn't it?
It is.
It's about the wonderful Norma pulling his chestnuts. Young people, forgive me. out of the fire, and the radiant Cherry Blair is going to get even more radiant, and Schlapper lay about around the country as well, and even Paddy Ashton. He's being taken around by 14 women, as I understand. It's all done to Sharp Gordon Brown, really. I hate the word Sharp and Gordon Brown coming together. There's nothing I can do about that. That's what it is, isn't it, Simon?
It certainly is, yes.
Give me 2 points, Simon.
I do give you 2 points.
Next
about
round.
Norman. The idea is to show that the Majors on a pre-election tour are very ordinary people, prompting speculation that they may have delusions of adequacy. At the end of round one, the scores are everybody 4 points. And we begin round two with an item spotted in the Daily Post.
Norwegian scientists tracking the migration routes of wild salmon were excited to pick up a radio signal from one fish that had been given up for lost, until they discovered the signal was coming from a fisherman's freezer.
Thank you, Janet Cannon of Wrexham, for sending us that. Andy, who was driven out after frank discussions?
Oh, this is the extremely exciting Damon Hill, who apparently wanted more than, I think he gets $3 million a year for driving a very fast car, a Williams. And Frank Williams, who owns the Williams team, feels that basically you could put a chimpanzee and a crash helmet in any of his cars and it would win. And bump into Michael Schumacher just as often. I've always feel Hill is very hard done by. I thought particularly last season when he had that big shunt with Schumacher, because Schumacher didn't indicate, he just pulled out. Classic German driving. He could have been in a BMW on an Autobahn. I mean,
yes, absolutely correct. This is racing driver Damon Hill, who was dropped by Frank Williams just after Murray Walker reported he was certain to stay with the team. The Williams team has denied they'll now favour the other driver, Jacques Villeneuve, who Damon leads by a healthy margin, or if you're listening to the repeat on Monday, leads by the narrowest of margins. 2 points to Andy. Michael, who had reservations over festive invitations?
Cut this bit out, will you? I don't know. Do you know, Andy? Give us a clue, go on.
It is a rather difficult clue, isn't it?
Yes. It's rotten, isn't it?
Yes, it's a sort of poster question, really. A poster poser.
Oh, yeah, got it now. Church of... acute case of the Church of England getting trendy. There's this absolutely grim new poster. I mean, even before the Regent Street lights go up, it's designed to get people into church for Christmas. And it says, you know, you're a virgin, you've had a baby. Peter Lilly wants to throw you out of the country. But why not come to church and find out the happy ending? My Richard Branson gets in everywhere, doesn't he? And I thought C of E should perhaps retaliate, that we should have, you know, C of E cola, sort of not too sweet, not too strong.
Why have you, of all people, missed out the best thing, all right?
Which no, I was leaving that for you, Alan.
Well, I don't know what bad hair day is. I don't think such a thing as bad hair.
What's bad hair?
What does it mean? All hair is good hair, isn't it?
How would you know?
Well, I mean, that's it.
We should explain for listeners at home that this is the baldest panel in radio history. Shouldn't we?
Hattersley has just scratched his head to draw attention to the fact that...
It's
that,
not real. We know that, Roy. We can see that.
In an unfair Tory society,
we
he's got most.
So that you could all be exposed for what you are.
This is the Church of England's controversial Bad Hair Day advertisement for Christmas. You're a virgin, you've just given birth, and now three kings have shown up. Other royal families trying to muscle in on Diana's act. Teenagers seemed confused by the poster. At one school in Essex, they all knew what a bad hair day was, but couldn't relate to the word virgin. Perfect score so far. We move on to the tiebreak. Roy, here's a piece of music for you.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard. Now everything is easy 'cause of you.
Roy, how did the high rise rise to new heights?
I think it's Park Hill Flats in Sheffield.
It is.
Which I actually built.
You built?
I built them.
Personally. With your bare hands, as the man said.
As chairman of the Public Works Committee of the City of Sheffield 150 years ago.
Sure, sure.
The plaques outside. Councillor RSG Hattersley, BSc Econ JP. Anyway, Park Hill Flats, which were built in 1960-something, were very popular at the time. They're not quite so popular now. And they're now a listed building, grade two.
Bit like you, Roy, really.
I'm a listed building, grade one, because of the extra antiquity. That's it. 2 points. Extra point for having built them.
No. Tempted to take a point off for having built them anyway. At least the plaque gives them something to piss on in the lifts, doesn't it? The question refers to the decision to bestow listed building status on a block of flats in Sheffield. They've been compared to medieval fortresses. They have the same dominance, the same majestic grandeur, and the same plumbing. Residents were delighted that they now have this status. It means they can apply for government funding and charge people a fiver for a cup of tea and a slice of cake. Alan, which brew was labelled kids' stuff?
Oh, yes. This is something called Alco Pop. And it's called Thick Head as well. Isn't it appealing? What a lovely world we live in. Apparently our children are sitting there drinking Alco Pop called Thick Head. Well, they're not. It's produced by Carlene Tetley. One of which used to produce beer and the other one used to produce tea. But somehow they've got together and are perforating our children. It's only 5-year-olds just sit around drinking this stuff. Exceptions taken to it, and Carlene Tetley have withdrawn themselves and their fearful muck from the market.
It is. It's tangerine-flavoured with the consistency of half-set jelly. In tests, children complained it was revolting. You couldn't taste the alcohol at all. So the scores at the end of round two are Alan and Roy 8, but Andy and Michael just in the lead with 9. We start round three with a cutting from the Sheffield Times.
Mexican food is spicy, nutritious, low in fat, adventurous and fun to eat, explains David Gowling, who owns restaurants in Sheffield and Chesterfield. We hope to establish a strong customer base who come to us regularly. We don't want to rip them off on their first visit.
Thank you, Isabel Deacon, for sending us that. Andy, how was a high old time to be had down on the farm?
I built this farm. Can I get another point, please? Could you possibly give me, a more obvious clue?
It's a new age traveller.
Oh, yes, I know. Now, it's interesting. Somebody got a grant, I think, to grow a field's worth of marijuana to make rope. I wasn't aware that a lot of ropes were made out of marijuana. I suppose it's hemp and all that. But apparently some hippie, sort of probably the last hippie alive, was driving along in her little caravan. I think it was a her, in a caravan covered with poppies and... decorations, and she came across a field full of marijuana and thought she'd died and gone to heaven. And so she parked up in it, and she lost her hold on reality, I should imagine, a bit. And they came along and they found her. And I think that was roughly it. I don't know where she is now.
And Michael Howard let her out.
But will she have realised? Probably not.
She's tunnelling her way back in, even as we speak.
After harvesting the stem, the cannabis leaves are incinerated to make sure they don't get into the wrong hands. Under strict guidelines, they must be rolled into a small cylindrical shape, wrapped in paper for safekeeping, and then personally set alight by Home Office staff. So, Michael, here's a piece of music for you.
It's that woman in the field still, isn't it? Oh, bless her. She'll probably get a caution. Go on.
Yeah. Michael, whose rollover cost him a rollover?
Is it a lottery question?
It's a lottery. Oh, yeah, terrific. Oh, yes, I thought... the lottery, this odd week in the lottery, because there was a survey which said that of all the people who win millions of pounds unexpectedly, completely out of the blue and undeservedly, half of them go back to work the following morning for the privatised utilities. The other lottery story was this fantastic story about in County Mayo of a Galway man, and he went up a mountain in County Mayo with this winning lottery ticket and not only failed to sign it or whatever you do, it's an Irish lottery ticket but it's still real money, and came down again without the ticket. According to the Sun, needless to say, he had been engaged in a saucy romp up the mountain, but almost no story appears in the Sun without a sexual dimension. And he came down and found £2 million and didn't have the ticket, so not surprisingly, he went back, rummaged around the mountain, rummaged around the hotel, and cunningly said, "I'm looking for my girlfriend's lost ring." Not stupid, eh? Quite stupid, but not completely stupid. Anyway, he hasn't found it. And the bloke who sold him the ticket still gets the commission. They get 10% or something in Ireland if you sell the winning ticket. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. He's missed out the best point, which is a mountain.
I know.
There's 38,000 people on it looking for this ticket.
The story is from the Irish island of Achill, where a £2 million lottery ticket was lost on a mountain. A young man from Galway claims he bought the winner before going off for a romp with his girlfriend, and the ticket fell out of his pocket while he was on the mount. Perhaps the most expensive 20 seconds of his life. Alan is quite right. Thousands of people have descended on the spot hoping that they too will get lucky, but the woman says she's not that kind of girl. Two points to Michael at last. Roy, what was at the heart of Scottish history?
Oh, this is Robert the Bruce, whose heart has been dug up in a rather strange, conical sort of thing, and it was taken off to the Crusades and then somehow it was spirited back to Scotland and it was buried and it's now been dug up, and good luck to everybody who's been involved in it. It's the sort of thing the Scots get up to. And
except they can't open the tin box it's in because it will shrivel. They're not going to open it. They just say it's in there. They rattle it round a bit and people say that sounds like Robert the Bruce's heart.
Open the box.
Yes, absolutely. The Scottish hero was taken to Dunfermline in 1329, where he lay untouched until 1819, when the nurse popped in to say the doctor was almost ready. Historians were convinced the casket contained evidence as to the king's cause of death, which it appears might have been suicide. Inside, they found a slip of paper reading £10 on England to win at Bannockburn. 2 points to Roy. And Alan, who is Taylor made to act her age?
I was amazed to find she was as young as she's only 64. She seems to have been 80 for about the last 40 years. It's a large, fat, much married lady who is coming back into a film called Walking Through Egypt. There's not much more to it than that, but she says... she just misses people, and she's lonely. If you remember what it was like on film sets when she was on, they must be trembling in their boots. But Elizabeth Taylor is making a comeback. What is left of her? She's making a comeback.
I think we can safely predict she won't be remaking National Velvet. That's the only one.
The producer of the film Walking Through Egypt has only provisionally signed the troubled Ms. Taylor. He says there is a big but. But he's asking... Let's look at the scores at the end of round three. They are Alan and Roy, 13, but Andy and Michael still just ahead with 14. And before we start the final round, here's a piece from The Guardian sent in by Billy Donnelly of Swindon.
A miracle has occurred in South Australia. Pilgrims are making their way to a church in Adelaide after the priest described seeing an image of the Virgin Mary and child on the altar wall. This has become a people's shrine, said the man who saw the vision, the Reverend Andrew Nutter.
Andy, here's your piece of music.
Oh, the runaway train came down the track and she blew. The runaway train came down the track and she blew. The runaway train come down the track, the whistle wide and the throttle back and she blew.
Andy, who went off the rails by going on the rails?
Right, well, I do know the answer to this, but before I answer, I just want to ask the question all the listeners will be asking, which is, where the hell is this mountain? With the lottery ticket. Because they will all be sitting there thinking, no one's found it yet, obviously. Right, well, this question is about the new British Rail initiative to make the trains run faster and more successfully, which is that in this instance, the trains on a commuterish line, I think it was, were driven for several months by a spotty youth of about 16 or 17 who passed himself off as a train driver. And I think it's a rather imaginative policy that obviously there's shorter drivers, but there's no shortage of disturbed people out there who can just who obviously would love to drive a train. He drove the train at 90 miles an hour, as I understand, and still nobody suspected anything. And he was on time, I think. I think he met his performance
targets.
That's
when they suspected there must be something wrong.
It's probably a little graph of his performance targets, you know, and it's light blue at the top. There was a lovely spokesman on television who, when it was put to him that the system had broken down, he said, nothing wrong with the system. He said, it was just people didn't apply the system.
Yes, it's the story of Nicholas Gray of Kent, who spent his time hanging around railway stations pretending to be an employee. He once gained 2 weeks' work experience with British Rail, but kept the uniform when the 18-month course ended. He was brought... Think about it. He was brought before the court this week, accused of conning his way onto driving a train. Passengers realised he wasn't a real driver when he announced where the train was going before it left the station. 2 points to Andy. Michael, why is good rock good for rocking the cradle?
Oh, God, I don't know. Andy, I don't know.
Well, I think this is a guess now. This sounds to me like a survey.
It does. It is.
Yes. Is it a survey that says something like that rock music is good at getting babies off to sleep? You can send them off to sleep if you play them Motorhead or something like that. Or leave them off.
Fetuses have ears. And they can hear things.
What, rock music?
And a child develops its ear for music when it's actually in the womb.
I didn't know that.
Well,
how would you?
I might have known.
Spend all your day at a desk.
I think that's true, because I remember when we were having our first child, I used to talk to the fetus through, you know, through his mum's tongue, and I know he recognised my voice, because when he was born, whenever I spoke, he looked bored.
Alan, your last question. Whose beak was brought before the beak?
It's about a cockatoo from Ealing. It's a sulphur-crested cockatoo from Ealing that was stolen and brought up as a budgerigar called Billy. And it was sick of this, because it was a very small ladder to run up and a very small bell to tinkle. So it flew off to the local nick. And the police rang the owner and they said, we've got your Billy. And the owner went down and said, hello, Billy. And the parrot said, I'm Primrose. Well, that is indeed what it was. Its original name was Primrose,
it before it was a budgerigar. And as a result of that,
given the phone book,
Primrose the Parrot said, and they live at 14 Osbaldeston Road, and their number is 7460953, not three times, and asked for Primrose. And the real owners came down and took it, and the bloke who bought it up as a budgie got 15 months.
Yes, it was Primrose, the sex change cockatoo, who said its own name in court to establish who owned it. Police said the bird started to say a few words when they took it to the station. By the time it had left, it had signed a 12-page confession to armed robbery. But Michael Howard let it out after it implicated a dozen buzzards. So before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
For this, I'm indebted to David Davis. The learner driver, who, unable to find the car horn, shouted toot toot out of the window at a pedestrian, today enters the AA Driving School 1996 calendar of horrors. So do other learners in a list of the school's hard cases so far this year. One went round a roundabout the wrong way and was asked whether he, she had ever driven on a roundabout. The reply, yes, but not this one. Another made an emergency stop when a sparrow walked in front of the car. The learner, who took too literally an examiner's request to turn left out of the test centre, ended up driving around a school playground. I should just read one more. They did a questionnaire, and one of the answers was, when should you sound your horn? Answer, when I'm picking up my friends.
Michael.
This comes from the Northampton Chronicle and Echo, courtesy of Claire Roberts. Hotel guest Peter Tomes thought he had hit the jackpot when he crept down to the bar in the middle of the night and rifled £123 from a fruit machine. To make the theft look like an outside job, he used a jemmy on an emergency door. It was a cunning plan that went wrong, said Andrew Wheeler, prosecuting. The damage was done to the inside of the door.
Roy. Well, this is from a free sheet, which was actually pushed in my letterbox in a house in Derbyshire, and it said this. Correction. We reported last week that protesters objecting to open cast mining on the Chatsworth estate had left sacks of coal outside the west front of Chatsworth House. The report stated that the Duke of Devonshire had promised to give the profits from the mines to old age pensioners. It should have reported that His Grace was sending the three sacks of coal to old age pensioners.
Alan.
Well, I have a poignant little tale from the East Bucks Weekly, Simon. It says, Beckwith Village Council has written to Mr. John Meredith of Cartwheel Cottage, Mill Lane, requesting him to modify the topiary figure of a man which stands at the corner of his garden because of several recent complaints that it was obscene. Mr. Meredith told our reporter that the figure had been there for 10 years and nobody had ever thought it was obscene until Bank Holiday Monday, when some passing drunk had tied two balloons to it.
Thank you all, and now let's look at the final score. Andy and Michael, 18 points, but Alan and Roy, level with 18 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from The Week magazine.
The annual Ideal Man competition in Tsetspaya, Russia, has been won by a 17-stone woman called Olga, who performed a series of manly tasks, including drinking 3 pints of beetroot vodka. She was revealed as a fraud when her false beard fell off. It was disappointing, admitted a judge, not least because she'd won the Ideal Woman competition only last week.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Andy Hamilton, Michael White and Roy Hattersley. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was by Ian Pattinson with Hugh Rycroft and Adam Bostock-Smith. The producer was Alan Evans.